morning. Buenos días. Excellent. So I hope that you are learning and you keep growing. Again, the whole purpose, if you forget everything that the Cuban said all these Sundays, do not forget this. It's all about communion with the Holy Spirit and taking the time to be consistent in this relationship daily. That's the biggest challenge. If you do that, everything else that I said will come and will be revealed to you again and again and again. The whole idea here is spending time consistently. Because I know we all do. We all pray. We all spend time with God. But the challenge is doing it consistently, right? No matter what. No matter what happens, you stay in the secret place no matter what. So today we're going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit moves and works with us. So please, if you are able, stand and let's read the word together as a community. For your away, unless I go away, the advocate will come to you. But if I go, I will send. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong, sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because the people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world is condemned. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I welcome here. Holy Spirit, open your eyes to perceive, ears to hear. Come, Holy Spirit, come and open the eyes of our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. So we are here today, and my hope is that we continue growing, as I said before, learning the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how he sanctifies, teaches, and empowers us, but most importantly, he equips us for the work of ministry. Now, today, I'm excited because one of our friends, pastors from Cuba, who are here now for a few months, they have been here 2 years already, 2 years already, and they are here with us. So can you stand up and say hi to the congregation, Danny, both of you. Thank you. And please pray for Cuba. You know, the news and all the pictures and the videos is devastating, what is happening in Cuba. Pray for Cuba. And if you feel led to give a little bit, he's going to Cuba in 2 weeks. So if you're willing or led to give, let us know, and I will make sure that he receives the offering from the church to go to Cuba and help the pastors and the churches there. And beyond that, everybody, and people are suffering. So here we are. So the Holy Spirit is with us. I mean, if you say yes, amen. We all have the Holy Spirit. So let's now cultivate a relationship with him to go deeper. So when you go to 1 Corinthians 12, and then you go to Roman 8 and other places, you're going to see, Roman 14, you're going to see all these gifts of the Spirit. Now, what I want to highlight, because I don't want to spend time in every gift, because for that I will need another sermon, okay? But just for you to notice how many times in that verse it says the same Spirit, the same God, the same Spirit, the same God, the same Spirit, the same God. Which means that in reality, we are having this relationship with God who is going to bless us and give us wisdom and give us all these powerful gifts, faith and healing and prophecy and speaking in tongues and all these gifts. But it's the same Spirit. So my first warning is the attention not to confuse the ministry of the Spirit with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's the third person of the Trinity. We already talked about that. He's God himself walking on earth. Now, the manifestation of the Spirit are all these gifts. And we need all these gifts. But the most important thing here is we have the same Spirit. Say with me, the same Spirit. Which means that the same Spirit in the book of in the Old Testament is the same Spirit in the New Testament, and is the same Spirit right now. So the same Spirit that all these wonderful men and women of God from the Old Testament had, you have. And the same Spirit that the apostles had, you and I have. Therefore, we are charged with the same responsibility to go out and preach the gospel to all nations. So as we reflect on all of this, my hope is that we know that we have this presence. We are human beings, mere human beings, but we're carrying around the presence of God in us, and that make you dangerous. You remember that song of Michael Jackson, Dangerous? Right? Dangerous. It's dangerous what you have inside, because now you manifest the Holy Spirit and you manifest the presence of God wherever you go. So here is the challenge that we have. We have the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You have all these powerful fruits. And the Bible says, against such things, there is no law. In other words, if a person is walking with the Spirit, walking in a step, locked in a step with the Spirit, and you are walking and you are flowing in these gifts, all these gifts are flowing through you, not out of human effort, not powered by your human will, but powered by the presence of God as you remain in a steadfast in the secret place, those fruits will flow through you. Same thing, I remember I was a surgeon, as a veterinarian doctor. Every time you have, and even human doctors, if you have a person and the person comes for surgery, and it's an open heart surgery or any type of surgery, you know that your job is to stay there. Do not move, yes or no? If you are there, if you go to the hospital for surgery, and you are there, the surgeon comes in, the nurses, everybody comes in. Once surgery begins, what is your job? Stay there. That's the only job. And they're going to make sure that you stay there. They're going to put as much meds you need just to knock you out. So you don't move, because they know you, that you will move. So that's the way, apply that to the spiritual world. We are always so busy, it's so hard for us to stay calm, remain, and only listen and allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and finish the work that he started with you. And if you do that, the Holy Spirit is going to bless you, and you're going to get up and you're going to be renewed, and people will know that you have been in the presence of God. This is what Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are what? God's children. In other words, you have a spirit, you have a soul, you have a body, but most importantly, you have a spirit. This is a spirit to a spirit relationship. And the reason that we are saying this is because for you and I to have the revelation and the understanding that it's not until we start moving in a relationship, a spirit to a spirit, that we are transformed inside. As long as we are trying to change outside, as long as we're trying to worship with our bodies, clapping and doing all of that, which is important, and as long as you are worshiping God with your emotions, you cry and you laugh and all of that is important, because the Bible says love God with all your strength, with all your soul, but then it says with all your what? Your spirit, right? So we usually have the tendency to stay in the first two levels, and we don't go into the third level, which is the spirit, your spirit. In your spirit, you have communion with God. In your spirit, you have intuition. In your spirit, you have discernment. Without knowing things, you can tell when things are from God, things are not from God. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. Yes, I'm sensing. Yes. So in your spirit, you have this relationship with the Spirit, with capital S. And the moment you have that relationship, you're going to start receiving not only wisdom, revelation, and prophecy, all of that that God has for you. The challenge here is, are you hungry for the Spirit? Are you hungry for the Spirit? And if you are, then God is challenging us to go deeper. Don't stay only with your emotions and your soul. Don't stay only with your intellect in your mind. Mental prayers, mental knowledge of Christ, mental knowledge of God. He wants you to go deeper to the point that you know, that you know, that you know that God is with you and you are his child. In the Spirit himself, we testify to you. You are a child of God. Doesn't matter what people say, you are a child of God. And doesn't matter what your soul says, when you sin, when you make a mistake, when you miss the mark, you are a child of God. That's the revelation there. So the Holy Spirit, that's the first ministry of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification, testifying, convicting us, purifying us, reflecting the love of Christ. The first step is, come Holy Spirit, I receive you as the Lord and Savior. Come Holy Spirit, show me. And then once he shows you and reveals Jesus to you, next steps. Now sanctification begins. And that's a process. What process, Pastor? Removing everything and anything in you and in me that does not look like Christ. In other words, God's goal is not for you to be happy. God's goal is for you to look like Christ. So if happiness and joy is your goal, you are in the wrong business. Because God wants you and I to look like Christ, open heart surgery, and whatever he needs to remove, this limb is going out, this thing is going out, your kidney is going out, I'm going to replace everything for new. And when that happens, now you reflect Christ. Wherever you go, people see it. People can testify that you used to be A, and now you are B. It has to be a transformation. You cannot stay the same. You can come the same, but you cannot stay the same. And people around you will know it. That's the first testimony, is that the people around you will know that they know that you have changed. You have been transformed. Here's what John 14:26 says. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you everything I have said to you. So the moment you start spending time with God, the first thing that the Holy Spirit will do is remind you everything that Jesus has done for you. Remind you everything that has been said. And the name is revealing. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. In other words, you have to walk in holiness. That's why the sanctification needs to happen for you and I to have communion with the Spirit. In other words, I cannot deviate from that. I have to be able and I have to desire and I want to collaborate with the Spirit, so I'm sanctified. And then he starts sanctifying my mind. Now my thoughts are aligned in alignment with God. He sanctifies my words. Now my words are in alignment with God. He sanctifies my actions. Now my actions are in alignment with God. He sanctifies my places, the places that I used to go. Now I don't go to those places anymore. If when I go to be a light in it, but I don't go back to have pleasure and have fun because I'm not going to gratify the desires of my flesh. I'm going to sacrifice myself so I can live for Christ. Wow. And the moment that happens, true transformation comes in and God show up in a mighty, powerful way. But he's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, which means that you cannot lie. I cannot lie. Taxes are coming. Are you going to lie in your taxes? Because the accountant will ask you, do you want to do this? If you do this, you're going to give less. Yeah. No. Why? Because he's the Spirit of truth. And there's no such a thing as a white lie. That doesn't exist. Lie is a lie. Jesus says, I am the truth. I'm sending you an advocate, the Spirit of truth. And in case you don't know what truth is, because Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, what is the truth? And you might be asking the same question. What is the truth? The truth are the facts that Jesus is God. And he is the maximum revelation of the truth on earth. And therefore, the moment we got this revelation, now we can have a conversation. And this week, we have been learning with the staff about what truth is. And we were talking about, hey, there are three levels of truth. Objective truth, meaning a fact for everybody, everywhere, at every time, is a fact. Like 1 + 1 = very simple. Okay? So that's true, yes or no? 1 + 1 is in Africa, Asia, Europe, Latin America, 1 + 1 is 2. So that's an objective truth. It doesn't matter if you say, well, I don't feel like it. I don't care. Okay? That's the truth. And if you say, no, it's not that way, it's not that way. Let's, you know, in Cuba, it's not that way. Okay, go and build a house. Go and build a bridge. And change the equation. No, 1 + 1 = 5. Go and see how long that house will last. And how long that bridge will last. It will be an accident. People will die. Yes or no? Yes, the same thing. So now we have also subjective truth. It's a truth that is subjective to the person. Your opinion, my opinion. You say, I like apples. And I say, I like mangoes. I'm from Cuba. I love mangoes. You laugh up. Okay, that's my truth. That's your truth. Fine. It's subjective, right? And then you have situational truth. And that means a truth that is true for a tempo, for a season. It might be different in different places. I can say right now, it's cold outside. That's true or yes? Yes or no? Okay, but then you wait a few months and it's gone. What I can say, it's raining outside and then it stops and it's not true anymore. It's not raining anymore. So that's situational. But what Christianity is all about, it's all about objective truth. Meaning, wherever you say, in any country, everywhere, God still is the creator of the universe. Jesus Christ came back to earth. He came back. He died for you. He died on the cross. And he's coming back again. That's an objective truth. The tomb is empty. I went. I visited. The tomb is empty. That's an objective truth. And the moment you receive that revelation, now you can testify to people. But for you to testify to people, you need the Holy Spirit. You can do this on your own. I cannot do this on my own. I have to testify. So he empowers us. He reminds us of Jesus' words. He empowers us to witness. So every time you feel these butterflies in your stomach, every time you're going to share the gospel, what do you do with that? Holy Spirit, can you come? Can you come and use me? Can you come and lead me? Can you come and help me to share the gospel? Then it happens, and every time it happens, you get more and more of him. And now you are willing to testify with boldness about the gospel. And that's my hope, that we all spend time with the Holy Spirit to the point that we're able to preach the gospel with boldness to other people. Here's what John 14:17 says, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, and he lives where? And will be. So this is the first step of the Christian life. The Holy Spirit lives with you first, and then will be in you. Since the moment you are born, the Holy Spirit is with you. If you look back, you're going to see time and time again how many people, how many situations God was trying to attract you to him. Think back and see the hand of God in your life since the very first day that you were born. And then, after a while, you start putting the evidence together, and people talk to you, and you say, wow, yes, God is real. And now you say, come, Holy Spirit, I receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now he's in you. Wow. Outside, now inside. That's when the transformation truly begins, when he comes inside. That's the first step of the Christian faith, and Jesus promised that to us. He lives with you first, and then he will be in you. And then if you are hungry, how many of you are hungry? If you are hungry, you want more. And the moment you say, I want more of the Spirit, I want more of the Spirit, now Jesus has another promise for you. He's saying now, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. Where? Oh. Where? 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 Wow. So first he's with you, then he's in you, and now he's. Oh, my goodness. That's why I cannot shut up. Because that's my passion. That's what I want. I want people. I want everyone to know that Christ came to earth and he's coming back again. How many of you believe that Christ is coming back again? So we need to preach the gospel, people. We need to preach the gospel. And that's when we come with the Spirit. Now he's upon us. Let's see this illustration and see if you got it, in case you need another way of learning it. So this water jar is the Holy Spirit. This is you, an empty vessel. You have nothing. That's before you come to Christ. Then the Holy Spirit starts pouring out. He's coming in you, And now you are adding communion. If you stay there, you're going to continue receiving from him his gifts, his graces, his fruits, his gifts, everything. And the moment you start spending time with him and walking and years pass by, because it's an accumulation of his presence in your life, now people can notice you're not empty anymore. Now you have the gift and the fruits of the Spirit in you. People can see that. Now the question here is, if you say, now I know enough. And that's what's happened with most people. I know enough, I'm fine. I don't pray anymore, I don't read the Bible anymore, I don't worship anymore. In fact, I'm 50. So I'm wondering what God is going to teach me now. I'm 50 after 25 years reading the Bible. What else? Right? Or you are 60, or you are 70, or you are 80. God is almighty. God is all knowledge. If you are 90, if you are 100, and 120, and you say, God, can you reveal to me, show yourself to me? You are going to be learning until the very moment you die. Why? Because our little peanut brains cannot receive all his glory and all his knowledge. The question here is, doesn't matter how old you are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Do you want more? If you say, yes, I want more, then he continues putting on you. Oops, sorry. Now he keeps putting on you. And now, okay, go back. Okay, so now he starts putting on you, and now you are full. The question here is, you know, can you be full of the Spirit and not being baptized in the Spirit? So let's go to what the question is all about. It's all about the definition of baptism in the Spirit. It says, baptism of the Holy Spirit is not being full, but it means having the Spirit without measure. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, John 3:34, for he whom God has sent utters the word of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. There is more. So he doesn't want you to be half full, be empty, be full. He wants you to be immersed. Oh my God. Immersed. I want more. I come from an island, my friend. There is no such a thing. Stay here. You go deep, right? You go deep to the oceans. You want to be there. You want to spend time. You want to be immersed. That's what baptism is. When you come to the waters, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Kabunga, you come back as a new person. Your wife will say, I don't think so until I see it. Right? But then the Holy Spirit keeps working, and then your wife or your spouse, your husband will say, yes, he's a new person. So it takes time for us to catch up with heaven about what the Holy Spirit is doing on earth. But believe me, if you are faithful, you will see it. Keep watching. Keep seeing, but he wants us to seek more. He wants us to be fully immersed in it. Spending time with him. Stay there. Wow. Here's what the Bible says, John 14:12. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3. Wow. So let's do this in a regressive way. Question here. Do you believe that Jesus is already with the Father? So he's gone? Yes or no? So he went to the Father. Now, if he's already gone, he's already in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, then as a natural result and supernatural result, because he walked among us, I supposed to be doing what? Greater things. And at the minimum, we should be doing what? The works I have been doing. The works I have been doing. So we all know Jesus. You don't need to know Hebrew and Greek and knowing all the books of the Bible. Do you know Jesus? So let's go and do what he did. Follow his steps. Do what he did. And then ask the Holy Spirit for more. And now we're going to do greater things. Why can we do greater things than Jesus, the Son of God? Because Jesus, as a human being, he was confined to Israel. We are not. We are not. We can use the media. We can use Facebook. We can use all platforms, and preach the gospel to the nations at once. And I can be in Africa. I can be in Asia. I can be in Latin America. I can be in Europe at the same time. Yes or no? Wow. Through the media, through online. Yes or no? Wow. Greater things. Jesus was preaching to the Jews only and the Gentiles in that little place over there. We are not limited by space because of technology. We can get a plane and go places. And in one day, I can visit 7 countries or more. Jesus have a donkey. By the time he gets to Israel, I went to Africa, came back, went to China, came back, went to Europe, came back, and then go to Cuba in the beach. And Jesus still going to Jerusalem in a donkey. Hello? So he's saying, you can do greater things. Go out. Testify. Go out. Preach the gospel. Go out. Love people. Go out. Forgive people. Go out. Go out. Go out. John 14:14 says, you may ask me for what? Anything in my name, and I will do it. Anything means anything. Anything, anything. And my hope is that we can start asking God the right things. Because this is what the Bible says. If you are born in Christ, if you have been resurrected in Christ, now set your minds on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Ask for anything. What is the problem that we have? That we are only asking for new houses, new cars, new jobs, promotions, new this and new that, instead of asking for the things that are important. Ask God to show you his way. This is what the Bible says in Psalms 103, verse 7. It says, God revealed his ways to Moses and his acts to Israel. In other words, to Moses. Moses has intimacy with God, so he revealed to Moses his ways, his commandments. But to Israel, his actions, his powers. And who was transformed at the end of the story? Moses was transformed. Israel was not transformed. Why? Because powers and miracles will not transform people. It will bless you here on earth. I was sick, now I am not. But then my body will get sick again. Because guess what? We have bodies that are natural and are in decay. But if you give your soul and your life to Jesus, it will impact not only this life, but also the life to come. The goal of the gospel is not only to heal your body, that's the beginning, that's a hook. It's like when we say to you, come, serve in this ministry for a year. It's a hook. Why? Because you know it's not going to be a year. It's going to be many, many years. You know that. Like me, someone said to me, come to ministry part-time. Look at this beard. It's white. Part-time? There is no such a thing as a part-time ministry. The mission of God is 24/7. 24/7 we are praying. 24/7 we are preaching the gospel. 24/7 we are seeking people to come back to Christ. 24/7. There is no such a thing as that. So this is the gift of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And my hope is that you walk in this revelation that we need both. We need the fruits and we need the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because people that you don't know need the gifts. The church need the gifts. But your family and the people who love you will eat from the fruits. In other words, I preach the gospel here. People came to Christ. Hallelujah. When I get to my house, when I go home, my wife, she doesn't care about how many people came to Christ. Are you going to love me? Are you going to be here? What is kindness? What is love? What is faith? What is perseverance? Does that make sense? So the people who love us, they will participate from the fruits of the Spirit in us. The people who don't know you as much are the most benefit with the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because the gift of the Spirit is for the community. But the fruits, yes, the community receives the fruits. But most importantly, the people who know you, people who spend time with you, are the ones who are going to say, it's so good to be in your presence when the Spirit is flowing through you and showing the fruits of the Spirit, not the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruits of the Spirit. So here is, the church will receive the gifts of the Spirit through you, but your family will receive what? The fruits through you. Now, who you become in Christ is far more important than what you do for Christ. So the goal is that you are transformed. It's not to do, to do, to do. It's to be. While you can superficially improve your behavior, only the Holy Spirit can fundamentally transform your nature. So you can fake it outside. You cannot fake it inside. Hello? Hello? The kingdom of God is not for pretenders. You can lie to the pastor. You can lie to the congregation. But I have news for you. You cannot lie to the Holy Spirit. Last time someone did that, you remember that chapter in chapter 5 in the book of Acts? The Peter confront Ananias and say, what? Are you lying to God? Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? You cannot lie to the Holy Spirit. He knows who you are. He knows every thought, every word, everything that you do. And even if you think that you are alone, when you are by yourself, you are not. You are always with the Holy Spirit. Why? Jesus said it. He said he will be with you, in you, and upon you. So, before you send that text next time, think about that. No one knows. And you know what the enemy says to you? No one will know. No one will know. And you should say, I know, and that's enough. God knows. He's everywhere. His eyes are everywhere. I know. That's enough. My hope is that you come to the table and you bring with you anything and everything. The only thing you need to do is ask for forgiveness. You need to be perfect. You need to be humble. God is not seeking perfection. He's seeking humility. Be humble and acknowledge the fact that you have missed the mark and come to the table and be restored into holiness and be restored into intimacy and relationship again. Are you ready for this, church? Please stand.